Hello, my name is Larissa, and I'm a compulsive eater. I am really grateful to be here again, standing before you, and I know you're getting really glad to see me every time I step up here. Shirley, who is the co-chair, the speaker committee for this year, who will be the chair of the speakers committee next year, is going to introduce the speaker tonight.
Thank you. Good evening, chosen family. My name is Shirley, and I am a compulsive eater. I'm so happy to... Thank you. Anyways, as I was saying, I'm happy that we're all together, where we can actually look at each other and smile and hug and get those kisses that I've missed for 2.5 years. So it gives me great, great pleasure to introduce this beautiful lady that I met on Zoom and had a conversation with her on the phone one night as she was walking through her neighborhood. And I asked her where she was going. And she said, I'm going yada, yada, yada. I said, really? On what street? And she told me, I said, my God, we're neighbors. We live 3 blocks from each other. And this is the first time that we've met each other. I would like to introduce you to Ryo. Please, please give her a warm welcome.
Good evening, beautiful people.
Let me take this off.
My name is Ryo. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm so grateful to be here. I'll be honest, I did not want to be here today. Shanita told me not to come, and I'll tell you who Shanita is. It means she needs to shut up. That's my disease. I have, by the grace of God, 2 years, 2 months, and 12 days today. And I first want to start by thanking God, because I could not get 2 seconds of abstinence. I could not get one meal, one bite. Once I took that bite, I was off. And I want to thank God so much for this program. I'm so thankful for all of you. And I want to thank my sponsor, an incredible woman who has just been so kind to me. She listens to me every day. I'm able to tell her my heart. And so I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. So why I didn't want to be here today, I'll just tell you the truth. I'm not at my maintenance weight, and that was hard for me because my disease is always about you have to be perfect for your life to start. And when I had said yes to this, I was like, why are you saying yes? Why would you do this? But what I had to remember is that it's the inside work. It's the fact that my eyes are bright today. It's the fact that I'm alive because this disease has torn me apart. So I'll take you to when I was a little girl. I'm going to take you back in the day, so you hear a little bit more about my story. So just like a lot of us, I was very young. I remember stealing food out of, like, you know, sugar cubes and stealing food out of the pantry when my parents didn't know. And there's, like, a lot of obsession about food. There was so much obsession about the way I looked. I remember being in a dance class for probably, like, 2 months. And I remember thinking, I'm so fat compared to all these kids. And years later, I saw those photos from dance class, and I was the same size as the kids. But I remember one day the teacher said, get on your stomach and lay on your stomach and take your feet and touch your ears. And all the kids could touch their ears with their feet. And I couldn't. And I'm like, look how fat I am. I can't do this. There's all this self-hatred. And what's so crazy is my parents are the most confident people you'll ever meet. I've never heard my mom tear up her body. My dad, too, he would have a little belly, and he just thought it looked great, you know? My parents are Nigerian, by the way, so they're very confident people. And my mom, when you hear her walking, this big, big, loud steps, and she takes up the space in the room, but I wanted to hide. My mother had 5 miscarriages before I was born, and she really wanted a child, and I was soon to be miscarried, too. But thankfully, the doctor was able to stitch me in there. And I'm here. But I think there was a part of me that had 1 foot in my life and 1 foot out. And with this disease, it's what it felt like. It's like I didn't really want to be here. So as I'm a little kid, I'm eating, I'm finding my ways. They always say an addict is one of the most resourceful people because we'll find ways to get what we want. They say, look at a crackhead. A crackhead is usually very, like, could be the best business person. They may not have money on Monday, but they'll find the money on Tuesday and get the crack on Wednesday. That's what I did with food. I'm a little kid. I learned how to, like, you know, talk my dad into getting me things, find ways to get good grades, to get maybe some more candy. We had a lot of food sales and a lot of charities that we did, and we had to raise money, and I would steal those foods and eat those foods and hide them and then have my parents pay for that. So there's like a lot of that. That was like my very young age. And then middle school, it was kind of the same thing, stealing, hiding. My father would take us to 7-Eleven after school, and I would take the food, and he'll say, eat one and give it to your mom when you get upstairs. And I put it in my book bag, and I went upstairs, and I locked the door. I ate the whole box. So there was no giving anything to my mom. And very resourceful. I identify as a bulimic, an anorexic, and a compulsive eater because I've gone through many different phases in my journey. And I remember the day when I learned about a tapeworm. I said, if I can eat raw meat, I'll get a tapeworm so it can eat the food out of me. And I ate raw meat that day, hoping to get a tapeworm. I mean, isn't it crazy? The disease is crazy. Who does that? But that was like the best thinking I had. So with all that going on in my life at that time, there's just this obsession about being perfect, this obsession to be accepted, and I wasn't. I was the only kid that looked like how I look in a school full of very cute, blonde, and blue-eyed kids. That's where I was, and I just didn't fit in. And so the kids bullied me. The teachers would look down on me and say, because your parents are Nigerian, that could be why your grades aren't so great. And my grades weren't great because I had an eating disorder. I couldn't focus, not because I wasn't smart enough. So by the time I got to the eighth grade, I remember having an awful day at school. The bullying was out of control, and I decided to strangle myself with a Safeway shopping bag. But what saved my life was the food downstairs that I was looking forward to eating. So I stopped midway to go get the food. So there's times where the food actually saved my life, okay? And I really needed it then, because I didn't know how to deal with life. I didn't know how to deal with things. All I knew is I just wanted to be accepted. I just wanted to be loved. And in my home, it was all about being seen but not heard. And I had so much to say, and I couldn't say it. So anyways, I go on to high school, and I'm now 217 pounds. That's how much weight I had gained from the eighth grade up to high school. And then I started getting boyfriends. I'm like, well, at least I'll get a boyfriend to like me and make me feel good about myself. I never liked those boys, by the way. I just wanted the attention. And then I joined Weight Watchers for the first time, lost some weight. I was really excited about the weight that I lost at that time, thinking that I nailed it. I got this. I'm good. And then before you know it, by my senior year of high school, I gained everything back. And now I started working at a gym, hoping that I would lose enough weight by prom. And that's not what happened. I joined the gym. They put me at the front desk. I'm like, why would these people have me at the front desk with the size that I am? And they're like, you have a beautiful smile. You're so friendly. And I'm like, but I'm fat. Why would I be at the front desk of a gym? This is crazy. And people would, we're so happy to see you. Every time we come in, we're happy to see your face. But all I could hear is my weight, my weight, my weight, my weight. So one day, another bright idea, I remember eating a 15-point lunch, which is, you know, who did Weight Watchers in here? Anybody do Weight Watchers? Okay, look at all the hands. I know why. Nothing unique, right? All of us have tried the same things. And I had a lunch that was, the points were so high, and that, like, ruined my whole day. And so the next thought was, I'm just going to die right here in the middle of the gym. So I took a bottle of pills, and I swallowed them. And then I went around the gym, and my job was to pick up all the towels that people left behind, put back any weights that I can carry that weren't too heavy, put them back on the rack. And I was just going to wait there and die in the middle of the gym. Isn't that ironic, too, like, in the middle of a gym? Compulsive exerciser, too. I did a lot of that, trying to control this disease, but it never worked. And then my parents that day arrived in a brand new car for graduation. I could see the lights of this new car, and there's a glass window at this Gold's Gym, and I could see them, and they're waving. It's like the American dream. My parents are able to buy me a car, you know, for my graduation. So anyways, I walked out to the car, and I got inside, and I said, I need to go to the hospital. And they said, for what? I said, I took pills. I want to die. They're all crying, they're so upset, they're trying to talk to me, what's wrong with you, what's going on? And all I wanted to say was, I hate myself, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I hate myself, I'm fat, I can't stop eating, I'm fat for prom, the boy broke up with me, oh my God, like everything was crumbling in my life and I just wanted to die. That's where I go when I'm in the food. I am suicidal. I don't know how to live. I don't know how to be on this planet. And so I go, they pump my stomach, the doctor asks me, what's wrong? You seem like a happy kid. I said, I hate myself. And if I told him the truth, I felt, how superficial is that to say I'm fat and I want to die? When I was in private school, Catholic private school, we did lots of charities to help people who were really struggling, right? With homelessness or people that were, they didn't have a place to go or even food to eat. And I had all those things and I want to die. So it felt so self-centered, but this is what the disease tells us. That we are self-centered in nature, right? We are very self-focused, but the idea of who am I? I don't want to be on this planet. So they pump my stomach, and about a month later, I graduate. I go to prom, which was a mess. I don't even want to get into that story. I couldn't fit my prom dress. Awful. And I went off to college, and then I started to do diet pills and over-exercising. I worked at other gyms during that time of my life. Lots and lots of Weight Watchers 9 times. And then finally, I Googled, can't stop eating. And then it said, you're a binge eater. I was like, oh, what's that? And then I got curious. And then I ended up finding myself at an eating disorder recovery therapist. And she said, why don't you try just eating one? Try. I said, okay. She goes, go out and make it fun. Okay. So I said, all right, I'll go out and I'll try it. I'll make it fun. So that's what I did. 7 days later, I came back. She goes, how did it go? I said, I had 15. I put this on top of it. I made about 20 of them. I had that in one sitting. I had about 30 more of this, 40 more of that. And her mouth went. I was like, you told me to try one. I can't stop. And she tried all these things to help me and write your feelings, make it pretty, put flowers at the table. None of that worked. No human aid can solve this disease. But I went on years and years trying because a part of me didn't want to believe that I had a problem. I figured if I could find the perfect diet, I'll be okay. And it didn't work. And then I tried more dieting and then more therapy. And then finally I lost some weight. I lost some weight cutting out sugar and some flour items. I lost a bunch of weight. I got skin removal surgery in 2014 and I had arrived. And then I took a compulsive bite, and there I was again. 6 years it took me to come to see how. That's how fast. I went 4 years doing okay, but I was still crazy. I was still obsessing over food, obsessing about, I became orthorexic. Have you all heard of that one? Yeah. Obsessed with perfect eating. That's the next phase of the disease that I had. The disease was always there. It was always running the show. It didn't matter what I looked like. It was always there. So, you know, I also went to a 12-step program where you can pick your own abstinence. And of course, I picked things that were fun, right? And people were around me, they were all gaining weight, including myself. And I would get 90 days and I'd leave, and I get 30 days and I'd leave. And I go find a big book way of working the program where you don't weigh or you don't do any food plan. I did that, gained 15 pounds. It's crazy. It's just been a crazy, 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 crazy journey. So when I finally came to this program, I just was done. I tried everything. Tried killing myself. Didn't do that, thank God. I'm so grateful. Tried everything I could. Tried figuring it out on my own. Tried calling the doctor. The diet pills, too. Everybody else, when they turned 18, they all went to the club. I went to GNC to get diet pills, and that was my party, GNC. And there was a lot of this abuse that I did to myself, just all the things I've done to try to fix the outside, the skin removal surgery, I was not happy. When I see pictures of that time, I'm like, wow, they gave me a new belly button, they took the skin off my arms, they made my stomach flat, they put things, flipped things back where they were supposed to. And it didn't do anything. I was probably the most miserable at that time because this is an inside issue. It's in the thing, Shanita is in my head. Shanita is in my head. And so what I'm so grateful for, what, like I told you, that turning point was in the pandemic. I can either go to the right and I'm gonna die of COVID because I'm overweight and I am not well, and I was either gonna kill myself, I had a man fly all the way from New Jersey to get engaged to me, and I treated him like dirt. And I prayed for this guy, and I was nasty to him. And he didn't know what to do. He was like, oh my God, I've moved my whole life to be with this crazy woman. And I can either go to the left, towards God, towards recovery, and have a new life. And so when I finally made that surrender, my sponsor said from the beginning, you never have to go back. You never have to go back. And I said, really? And I'm thinking, wow, she has 30 years, so she's right. I said, well, what do? You show up to meetings early. You take service positions. As soon as I got my 30 days, I was sponsoring by day like 32. Couldn't believe it. Somebody who was double my age, too, which was scary, because she was already in and out the program, and she was like, okay, what are we doing? And I'm like, oh, God, I don't know. I'm like, well, this is what my sponsor tells me, so it's like I'm fighting with her. But that's the thing. We have to fight for our lives. Every tool that this program says is exactly what we're supposed to do, so I sponsor. I have 4 sponsees now. I do a ton of service. I'm chair for... oh gosh, I can't even remember. There's so many things going on. So I'm the chair for public information, and we're doing a lot of great service with trying to get the message out to our communities, which is amazing. I'm vice chair of an intergroup for Area 2 for Las Vegas. I live in LA, but I hang with the Las Vegas people because my sponsor's there, and there they are over there, Las Vegas. That is weak, everybody. That is a weak whoop whoop. Okay. I love them. They've been such a big part of my life. Let's see, what else? Speaking today, everywhere I go, I say a prayer. I say, God, if there's anyone who needs this program, please align me with them. And I'm meeting people at the grocery store. I'm meeting people randomly everywhere. And they just start opening up. You know, I feel fat. I'm like, I got the answer. And I tell them my testimony right there. And like, my life looks nothing like I ever thought it would. It looks nothing. I was going to be Beyonce, all right? And here I am tonight. But I have a good life today because it's much bigger than the external. I chased external success. African parents, from the time you're 3, you will go to school, you will go to college, you will become a doctor, a lawyer. That's it. And if you're an artist, forget it. And it was all about external achievements. And this is the first place in this program where I've been able to work from the inside out and really let God shine through me. Take me, God, whatever it is that you want, whatever your will is for me. My life looks nothing like I thought it would. And so with that, it comes a lot of hard work. And I work this program like my hair is on fire. Today, I want to say that Satan didn't want me to be here. That's what I also call the disease, Satan. And everything was going wrong, okay? Everything was going wrong. And my two sponsees came into the former sponsee, and the sponsee were like, they knew where to find me in the bathroom fixing my hair. And they're like, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. And that's what I love about our program. We support each other. We love each other. This is a life or death situation. It's one bite away. We're all one bite away. And that's the thing we can't forget. Before, when I lost weight, I started getting cocky. I got this. I feel good. And that's the moment the disease swindles you. It's always ready to catch us. It's always ready. And so my sponsor reminds me that we have to combat the disease with a lot of recovery. We can't even crack the door open a little bit. And this is why, you know, for me, I was the queen of Frankenfoods. I could make anything. Anything abstinent, vegan, whatever, keto, whatever I was doing at the time, make my binge foods into that diet. I don't do that now. I keep it simple. I'm not a scientist. I don't play with the food because it's like an alcoholic drinking alcohol-free beer. It triggers those things. I don't play with the food today. And a funny story, there's one day I did a presentation at Whole Foods called Lose Weight and Eat. I'm not going to tell you the word, but it rhymes with lose weight and eat. And a lot of people came, and here I am flipping and cooking things. This is sugar-free this. This is dairy-free this. And people were buying the products. I made no money, by the way, for that. But it was just how insane I was, like how far I went with romancing the food. I don't even cook professionally. Why was I doing that? But it's just the obsession with those things. So I'm just grateful today that God is using my life in a way I never thought. I'm grateful to see smiling faces. It's such a blessing. Like, some of my sponsees think I'm intense because I really want them to get the program. It's why I had to start going to Al-Anon, because I'm like, oh, you have to get it. Oh, I was already going to Al-Anon before, but I want everybody to have this gift. And my biggest fear is that the program's going to water down, because sometimes I hear crazy things in the room sometimes. I'm like, wait, what tool is that? Where did you get that from? It's like, we have to keep the program at its original place, how it's been working for the last, whatever, 40, 50 years. Shouldn't water down, or we're going to be like the other programs that allow us to pick our own food. And we should do that. We don't get to do that. Are you kidding me? Pick our own, no. 5 minutes. Oh, Lord. Okay, what do I want to say? I'm grateful to be here. This is very transformative for me right now, and Shanita's pissed. But Ryo's happy, and God is happy. And I'm just so thankful to be here and see all these happy faces, smiling, new friends I got to meet. We're having a good time over there just laughing. And I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful for this program. And, you know, some things have been happening. Lots of things happened in my journey in this last 2 years. My grandma passed away at 100 years old, and I had all this regret. I didn't want to see her because I was so afraid they're going to say, Oti Tobi, that means you're so big. And so I stayed away. And then one of my good friends passed away of cancer. But what was great was I was there with her to the very end. And I was able to share all the abstinent food I was eating, and she was able to eat it, and she loved our food. And then the man who came all the way down here to be with me, we had a split. And my sponsor told me, guess what? The more you get abstinent, you're going to start changing playgrounds and playmates. Now, he's so cute, though. I don't want him to go away. But it's all up to God. The truth is, everything is God's will today. I have to trust that. When I run the show, I'm suicidal, taking pills at a gym, trying to kill myself. And today I have joy in my eyes, and that's a blessing. So I love you all so much. And even if I'm meeting you for the first time, I see you, I'm thankful, and let's keep it going. We gotta keep this going to help the newcomers. So thank you, guys.